Well, we're in a series called Everyday People, where we're looking at just everyday people and the encounters they had with Jesus in the Gospels. And the Taylor sisters are going to read today's encounter. Let's listen together.
It was just before the Passover festival. Jesus knew that the hour had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. The evening meal was in progress, and the devil had already prompted Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power, and that he had come from God and was returning to God. So he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, and wrapped a towel around his waist. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that he wrapped around him.
Then he came to Simon Peter, and Peter said to him, "Lord, are you washing my feet?" Jesus answered and said to him, "What I am doing, you do not understand now, but you will know after this." Peter said to him, "You shall never wash my feet." Jesus answered him, "If I do not wash you, you have no part with me." Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head." Jesus said to him, "He who is bathed needs only to wash his feet, but is completely clean, and you are clean, but not all of you." For he knew who would betray him, therefore he said, "You are not all clean."
When he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. "Do you understand what I have done for you?" he asked them. "You call me teacher and Lord, and rightfully so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. I tell you the truth, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them."
Thank you, ladies. It is Thursday night, the last week of Jesus' life. And Jesus is gathering with his disciples for their final meal. They're all there together, and if you know how the setup was back then when they would eat, there'd be a long table, and there'd be several couches around the table, and the head of the couch would be pointed towards the table, the foot of the couch towards the wall. And you would lean on your left side, recline on your left side, and then you'd reach over with your right hand, and you'd grab the food. And so your feet would be extended off the end of the couch with your sandals removed. Jesus knew that before long, Judas would come with a kiss. Roman soldiers would then arrest him. He would be in front of Pilate. And then he would be hung on a cross. Jesus knew all this is coming. Can you imagine the emotions he was feeling? This was the last week of his life. Meanwhile, what are the disciples talking about around this meal? They're having an argument about who is going to be the greatest. Luke 22:24, which is a parallel account of this story in Luke's gospel, it says, "A dispute arose among them as to which of them was considered to be the greatest." Here's Jesus at his final meal with his disciples, and they're acting like two-year-olds. Probably one of them said, "I wonder who's going to be the greatest." And another said, "Well, it's obviously me." And they started arguing about who was going to be top dog. And Jesus used this dispute as a teachable moment. Verse 4, it says this. "So he got up from the table, took off his robe, wrapped a towel around his waist, and poured water into a basin. Then he began to wash the disciples' feet, drying them with the towel he had around them." Without a word, Jesus stood up and took off his tunic and wrapped a towel around his waist, took a pitcher of water, and knelt down, took the feet of a disciple, wiped the dirt off of it, and started to wash his feet. He then took his towel and dried them. And then he moved on to the next disciple. In the room, there was absolute silence. They could not believe what they were witnessing. In those days, foot washing was what you did when someone came to your home, because a person's feet got quickly covered in dirt and dust. Back then, if you come to my house, I would greet you with a kiss on the cheek, and then I would call my servants, and one of the servants would come over, and he would kneel down, take off your sandals, and wash your feet. It was just a common courtesy. It was not common, though, for the host to wash the feet of his guests. In fact, a host would never do that. It was too degrading. It was too humiliating for a host to wash the feet of a guest. Washing a person's feet was a task reserved for the lowliest of servants. For a superior to wash an inferior's feet was unheard of. It was just never done. That's why the disciples were so shocked. Not that someone would wash their feet, but that Jesus was the one doing it. Picture it for a moment. The Son of God, the Redeemer, the Prince of Peace, the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, stripped off his garments, got down on his knees and washed feet. He stooped down and did something that was reserved for the lowliest of the low. Now, if you think about it, the image of Jesus washing feet was symbolic with really the journey he made from the Father and then back to the Father. Jesus rose from supper just as he had risen from his eternal throne. Jesus laid aside his garments just as he'd laid aside his glory in heaven. Jesus wrapped the towel around himself and washed his disciples' feet, performing a most demeaning act of service, just as the next day he would die a very demeaning death. When Jesus had finished washing their feet, he took up his garments and he returned to his place of honor. And after he died on the cross and rose again, Jesus was given the place of honor at the Father's right hand. Philippians 2:9 says, "Therefore God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord." Such powerful imagery as Jesus knelt down to wash feet. Now, when Jesus, as he is washing feet, got around to Peter, Peter said to him in verse 6 this, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" Jesus replied, "You don't understand now what I am doing, but someday you will." "No," Peter protested, "you will never, ever wash my feet." In Peter's mind, what Jesus was doing was demeaning. It was slave work. "Don't touch my feet, Peter. Don't touch my feet, Jesus. That's not your job. That's beneath you." You can almost see Peter pulling up his feet onto the couch. "You're not going to touch my feet, Jesus." Notice Jesus' reply. John 13 and verse 8, it says, "Unless I wash you, you won't belong to me." With that statement, Jesus moved from the physical lesson of washing feet to the spiritual truth of washing an inner person. Jesus was saying, "Peter, unless you allow me to wash you in a spiritual way, you're not clean and will have no part with me." No person can have a life-giving relationship with Jesus unless they come to him and he has washed away their sin. On the other hand, when a person comes to Jesus, when they go before Jesus and they say, Jesus, I want to confess my sin to you. I want the work of the cross applied to my life. I want to follow you. When a person comes to Jesus with that posture, then what happens is that the Bible says they're cleansed, they're forgiven of their sins. Their relationship with God is restored. They become a new creation in Christ, and they enter into his kingdom. Peter replied to Jesus in verse 9, then wash my hands and head as well, Lord, not just my feet. Thinking that Jesus was still speaking of physical cleansing, Peter says, wash all of me, everything. Wash me entirely, not just my feet. Isn't that typical of Peter? Peter goes from one extreme to the other. He's kind of like that. You'll never wash my feet, to, hey, Jesus, wash all of me. And while Peter was talking about physical cleansing, Jesus, still speaking of spiritual washing, said to Peter in verse 10, a person who has bathed all over does not need to wash except for feet to be entirely clean. And you disciples are clean, but not all of you. In other words, a person who has had a bath needs only to wash his dirty feet. What is Jesus meaning here? In the culture of the day, a person would take a bath in the morning to get himself clean. And as he went through the day, as we've already mentioned, because of the dusty roads, he would have to wash the dirt off his feet a couple of times. He didn't have to keep taking a bath. What he needed to do was just wash the dirt off his feet. And Jesus here was saying to Peter and is saying to all of us, it's necessary for a person to experience the forgiving and cleansing of sin that I can give. And that's depicted here as a bath. You're dirty. Your sin has made you that way. And you come to Jesus and Jesus cleanses you and forgives you. I think the refrain of the hymn, Jesus Paid It All, says it well. Jesus paid it all to him I own. Sin had left a crimson stain. Jesus washed it white as snow. And when you come to Christ for that first time, and you ask him to cleanse you and forgive you, that's what he does. He washes you white as snow. Titus chapter 3, verse 4 and 5 says this. When God our Savior revealed his kindness and love, he saved us, not because of the righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy. Now look at this. He washed away our sins, giving us new birth and new life through his Spirit. He washed away our sins, giving us new birth and new life through his Spirit. That's the beginning of the Christian journey. And it's a bath that every single person is invited to. I remember when I was 17 years old, on the front steps of Central Baptist Church with my friend Lloyd, when I bowed my head and I prayed and I said, God, I want to thank you for sending your son. And I want to confess my sins to you, and I want you to forgive me my sins and cleanse me. I want to walk with you and I want to follow you. And when I prayed that prayer, God forgave me. He cleansed me. He washed my sins as white as snow. He gave me that bath that Jesus is depicting here. And I became a new creation in him. And I entered into his kingdom because the cross is a doorway into the kingdom. And once I'd come to Christ at 17 and asked him to wash away my sins, from that point on, I didn't need another bath. Positionally, Before Jesus, I am cleansed and I am forgiven and I am part of his kingdom and I'm a new creation in Christ. But on the practical side, my feet still get dirty. I still sin. And so I need regular foot washing. That's what 1 John 1:9 is talking about when it says this: if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. And so I think we need to have regular foot washing. I think we need to regularly come before the Lord and ask him to wash our feet, to cleanse us. As part of my morning liturgy most mornings, I pray this confession of sin from the Book of Common Prayer. It goes like this: Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole hearts. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us that we might delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your name. Amen. And then as I'm praying that, if things come to mind where the day before I've sinned, I've got dirt on my feet, I confess those specific things. Because again, 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us. He is faithful and just to wash our feet, if you will. Now, having inserted a lesson on salvation, a theological interlude, if you will, with Peter in a discussion, Jesus now refocused on the foot washing that he had performed. Look at verse 12 of John 13. He goes back to the practical lesson of foot washing. Here are these guys, they're arguing about who's going to be the greatest. And Jesus says this: After washing their feet, he put on his robe again and sat down and asked, Do you understand what I was doing? You call me teacher and Lord, and you're right, because that's what I am. And since I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you ought to wash each other's feet. I have given you an example to follow. Do as I have done to you. I tell you the truth. Slaves are not greater than their master, nor the messenger is more important than the one who sends the message. Now that you know these things, God will bless you for doing them. He got to the end of the foot washing, and he asked this question, verse 12 again. Do you understand what I have done for you? And the answer was, no, they didn't get it. So Jesus gave them a truth, a command, and a blessing. Here's the truth, verse 13. You call me teacher and Lord, and rightfully so, for that is what I am. The truth is, Jesus is teacher and Lord. He's the one who teaches us the Father's way, and he's also one with the Father. He's Lord. Then in verse 14 and 15, we have the command. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. Notice the command, do as I have done for you. Jesus there is moving from the greater to the lesser. If the Lord of glory was willing to humble himself and wash dirty, stinky feet, then his followers need to be willing to do the same thing. But Jesus, we say, washing feet is demeaning stuff. And Jesus responds, if you're going to follow me, find some feet to wash. In other words, find some people to serve. If you follow King Jesus, you don't get to say, I don't do feet. Now understand, it's not just about our actions, it's also about our attitude. Serving is not, first of all, what you do. It is, first of all, who you are. It's our heart attitude that matters. Being a servant doesn't start with what you do. Being a servant starts with the attitude of your heart. And if you're in a home group this morning and you're meeting with other people, here's a question for you to discuss after the sermon. How does a person develop a servant's heart? How does a person develop a servant's heart, a servant's attitude? Because a person with a servant's heart will always find plenty of feet to wash. If you have a servant's attitude, you'll find endless opportunities to wash feet, to serve others. As many of you know, we're part of the Los Angeles Dream Center Network. And the Los Angeles Dream Center is a ministry in the Echo Park area of Los Angeles. And it's a multifaceted ministry down there. But what happened, their motto is this: we get to serve. Isn't that a great motto for a Dream Center? We get to serve. And when the LA schools shut down because of the COVID crisis, all these children were no longer receiving lunch that they got when they went to school. And so Matthew Barnett and his team thought, how can we serve our community? Because they have a servant's heart, they have a servant's attitude. Their motto is, we get to serve. And they thought, how can we serve in this moment? And they said, we know what we'll do. We'll start to hand out meals in a drive-through fashion. And so they have a parking lot, and people were driving through their parking lot, and they came around in a big circle. And as they came up to one area, they were handed lunch meals. And so all these children that weren't being served in the LA school system had a place to go with their parents to get a lunch. And within a few weeks, they served 850,000 meals, caring for people in their community. When you have a servant's heart, you will always find plenty of feet to wash. You will find plenty of ways to serve others. But know this, serving is countercultural. In a world where people are used to using others to get power or success or money or fame, Jesus calls his followers to something much different. Look at Mark chapter 10, verse 43. Jesus says this: whoever wishes to become great among you shall be your servant, and whoever wishes to be number one shall be slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve. What if we actually lived that out? What if we actually lived out the call of Jesus to serve others? What if instead of being obsessed with ourselves, we sought to serve? When we choose the way of King Jesus, when we choose the way of the servant, things change. Lives change. You want to change your marriage? Serve your spouse. You want to change your friendships? Serve your friends. You want to change your community? Serve your community. You want to change your relationship with God? Serve the poor. If you want to see your life change, serve others, because when you serve others, God changes lives, and the first life he changes is yours. Here's the promise, verse 17. Now that you know these things, you'll be blessed if you do them. I have good news and I have bad news. The bad news is this: feet stink. If you're going to wash feet, if you're going to serve others, you're going to do some humbling and maybe even some humiliating things, and you might not get thanked. The good news is this: you will be blessed. There is great blessing in serving others. For years, Sylvia and I led the spring March trip down to our Dream Center in Mexico, the Mission San Quintin Dream Center, and we'd take families and teenagers, and we would head down there, and we would build a school or we would build a house. And on the way back, as I heard the stories of what God did in people's lives, I was always left wondering, who got blessed more? The people we went to serve or the people who went down and did the serving? When we serve others, we get blessed. Albert Schweitzer once said this, "The only ones among you who will be able to be really happy are those who have sought and found how to serve." Let me say that again. The only ones among you who will be really happy are those who have sought and found how to serve. Do you want to be fulfilled and happy? Start serving others. I have one question left. It's a very simple one. Jesus said, "Do as I have done." My question is this: whose feet are you going to wash this week? In other words, who are you going to serve this week? Can I challenge all of us to pray this simple prayer each day as you leave your house or as you get up? Because not everybody's leaving their house right now. But as you get up, here's a simple prayer for each of us to pray this week. Jesus, whose feet can I wash today? Jesus, who can I serve today? And then watch what God does. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this amazing encounter Jesus had with his disciples. And Father, first of all, I pray if there's any who are watching us today who need to have that bath, who need to come to you for the first time and just say, "I want the work of the cross applied to my life," I pray that'll happen today. I pray people will come to you and bow to you and become new creations in you today. And I pray for those of us that follow you, Jesus, that we would understand that saying, "I don't do feet," isn't something a follower of Jesus is really allowed to say. We're called to follow you, the greater one, who came to serve. And you call us to have a servant's posture. And so, God, I pray that your Holy Spirit would develop in each and every one of us a heart and an attitude of service. That we would go through our days looking for feet to wash, for people to serve, in your name and for your glory. Amen.